As a CEO of the ship, and you're responsible for carrying out these trials and assisting VX10 and vice versa, were you concerned about the actual approach and landing of the helicopter? I mean, once the ship became operational, that would be the most vulnerable time for the ship, would it not?
Yeah.
The takeoffs were a much shorter time period involved, but depending upon sea state and conditions and all that sort of thing, it could end cooperation between the LSO and the pilot and all those sorts of variables could determine how quickly or how long it took to actually secure the aircraft and the bear trap.
We didn't seem to have any problems in that regard. We might have had a few training missions, you know, for young second pilots being trained. But eventually, as long as you put the ship on a course that within the envelope, and that was, you took a good, you know, the seaman's eye could do most of that. And sometimes it went against the, you had to go in against the flow of the main body to do it. But you didn't want to be too long on the course. You'd wait until the absolute minute, last minute, before you altered course to that. Once you hit it, let it stabilize. We always managed to get that chopper down and locked on within 5 minutes.
That's a pretty quick time.
Yeah, and to be back on course again.
What were your other concerns as it related to flight operations as CEO of the ship?
The only other concern we had was fire. Our biggest concern was fire at any time, you know, because we had a lot of fuel.
What was the storage capacity for the JP-5, do you remember?
I've looked at that tank about 16 times when it was growing weeds even, and I don't remember. Several tons. I mean,
several tons.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember.
Was refueling taking place out on the flight deck, I assume?
Yeah.
Just to cut down on vapors in the hangar and that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and during the fueling operations, I assume that the three-man crew, firefighting crew, would all be standing at ready.
Dressed and ready, yeah.
So they would be located at the aft end of the flight deck and in the hangar, is that correct?
There was arguments about that, too. And I think they jostled them around to try the most advantageous positions. And they were manning the pumps, mainly, and the hoses, you know.
Right.
And everything was ready. And they were in their asbestos suits.
So when you talk about discussions, are these discussions about location and
locations,
numbers?
Locations, mostly. What is the most advantageous? And it took a lot of thought went into.
Now, are these discussions taking place because, I mean, the Canadian Navy is the only Navy that's doing this. Is that partly explain why these sorts of discussions are going on as sort of trial and error?
I don't know what discussions are going on now.
No, but then, I mean, it was sort of trial and error. I mean, the Canadian Navy and VX-10 was writing the book.
That's right.
Nobody else had, they couldn't turn and say, well, here's the standard procedure.
Even the fishhead engineering staff, you know, were at a loss. They didn't understand it. So the VX-10 had to take the leadership role and experiment and play games and presuppose the situation. They've even had such things, I think, as they had fire hydrants moved.
Right. You raised an interesting point. What was the relationship between ship's company and the naval air side during the time that you were CO? How would you characterize that?
Well, we had a rather flamboyant in Goose McLennan, leader in the, who didn't want anything to do with the Navy. He was air, but I managed to subdue him somewhat. And while he didn't get along with my XO, we got the job done. That's all I can say about it.
All right.
He did very well as a postal.
What about the rest of the ships?
The rest, it worked in beautifully.
No problem?
No problem, whatever. We never had any problems with firefighters, or they all stood to and did their chores the same as anybody else would do it.
Right. Just to go back to the trials for a moment here, did Annapolis have the tail guiding winch fitted at this point for centering the aircraft in order to traverse it into the hangar following a landing? Do you remember?
I don't think it did.
So it would have had the, what some people have referred to as sort of the pepper pot grill or something at the aft end of the flight deck? And the chevron rails to do the centering?
I think that was fitted for us I think it was fitted. God, I can't remember that. Now, I'm pretty sure we did have it. I'm positive we didn't have it on our rough weather trials.
All right.
But I do think we got it partway through my commission.
Okay. So that would have been... A modification would have been taken place in Halifax during your time as CO, which certainly would have improved the centering and traversing of the aircraft in and out, because from what I understand, the other system didn't work really well. It was kind of an ad hoc thing.
Well, it hadn't been properly designed.
Right, but this was something that they were working through during the trials. So that was the only refit that
I can't think when it was done even. I can't remember.
All right.
But I'm pretty sure we had a centering device.
During your time as CO, was there any notable incidents or mishaps that took place that you can remember? None at all.
Well, we had lots of medevacs, from our ship and other ships, but that's nothing new.
So during the trials then, it was all using the hull down in the bear trap. There was no free deck landings or anything aboard the destroyer? No?
No.
All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I thought the concept of sound and the... we certainly didn't have any problems with it. As long as you get your crews when it worked up to condition and you have full faith in your firefighters and your deck handlers. No, and it's a combined operation. It's not just something that you throw at a ship and say, go and do it. You have to train your personnel and baby them along for the first few times, do trials, and work them up. A workup is most important. You're going to work aircraft and ships together.
And from what I can tell, everybody was trained very well and performed admirably.
Yeah, they did indeed.
All the way through the entire process,
from
what I can tell.
I was very pleased with the way that the people met the many challenges they had.
How would you describe the working relationship with VX-10 personnel while you were CO?
Very good. Excellent.
Did you have much to do with the engineers of VX-10 that might have to visit the ship to work on a particular modification or discuss a...
Well, I knew them all. I don't know whether they...
Was Peter Charlton still around with VX-10 when you were CEO of Annapolis?
I don't know whether Peter was still there or not. But Peter and I are old buddies from way back. I mean, there's no... We had no problems with any of the engineers. Even my own engineer aboard the ship was quite impressed with the way the boys went at it.
And would that also hold true for any of the engineers from the contractors, Ferry Aviation or Doughty, for example?
I didn't see any Ferry Aviation personnel, very rarely. Doughty's. Once we got operational, I never saw anybody.
Most of the bugs had been worked out of the system by that point in time?
That point in time,
And they were getting ready to do the operational installments, I guess.
I don't know what the next program was. All I knew is that what we had worked, and you don't fix anything if it ain't broken.
If it's not broken. That's a good philosophy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for everything. I certainly appreciate your participation in the interviews.
I probably have made a few inaccuracies, in times and...
I'm sure that I have as well.
Yeah, but I'm hoping I got it pretty well.
No, you've added some very useful information, and it will be useful for anybody at the directorate that will be listening to this tape.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.